Okay, so we'll begin. First of all, the shiur is given in commemoration of the 22nd yard site of Rachel Bas Harav Shlomo Yekutiel Zalman and the 7th yard site of Leah Bas Moshe Aryeh, Joseph Bench's mother and Marilyn Bench's mother. So the neshama should have an aliyah. And as I say each time, but I mean it each time, it's really always a pleasure to be mishtatef in these yard sites, a family that really is very committed not only to halachic life, but to Talmud Torah and to Talmud Torah on the highest level. Okay, I want to begin with just a comment, which will lead to an analysis of the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The comment is very simple, and it's not. I think it's not so well known. As we know, there are three kesarim, as we call them, three crowns: the Keser Malchus, the Keser Kahuna, and Keser Torah. Keser Torah, something to discuss for another time. That, of course, is democratic; it applies to all people. But the Keser Malchus and the Keser Kahuna obviously relate to all of Klal Yisrael in a very real way, the role of the Melech, the role of the Kohen Gadol, but what's significant about it is the role that they play within the Tzibur. But at the same time, as we know, each of those functions is limited to a specialized group of people. Shevet Levi for the Kohanim, and even more than Shevet Levi, more particularly the Kohanim, and of course the Melech comes from Shevet Yehuda. The relationship between the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, or the parallels between the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, are a fascinating topic, because you basically have two individuals who really stand out, again, who are selected already from a specialized group. I think it's a great example of the halacha's perspective on spiritual specialization in a bigger way. And they have a unique dinim, these two individuals. They stand at the pinnacle of two groups, two specialized groups already, and they have singular dinim. And some of those singular dinim, as I say, are overlap or parallel each other. Without going into detail, especially post-slichos, we'll try to make it a little quicker than usual. Both the Kohen Gadol and the Melech have a status of Kedusha. Once they're appointed, they have a certain personal sanctity that transcends others. Every Kohen has that to some extent, the Kidashto, but the Kohen Gadol even more so. There's a Minui and a Kedusha, as Mefarshim often point out. There's the appointment to these roles and functions, and once appointed, there's a certain obligation and status and stature that devolves upon both the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. Accordingly, the way that you appoint a Kohen Gadol, the way you appoint the Melech, there are overlaps in terms of the role of Bezen HaGadol. The way that they are relieved of their duties in some cases may have some parallels. Each one has a special korban when he is Chote, the Nasi, that's the Melech, the Kohen Gadol has that as well. There are numerous parallels between these two, and understandably so, because they have a lot in common, as we just noted. However, there's one very dramatic difference between them, and that is that the Melech has an obligation to be appointed, and that obligation is something which is the focus of a lot of attention. Som tasim alecha, Melech. Chazal say shetehei mascha alecha, but there's a parsha in the Torah that speaks about the obligation to appoint a king. The Rambam begins Sefer Melachim, Hilchos Melachim rather, by telling you that there are three mitzvos which Klal Yisrael were commanded upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. They were, there are different orders for these in Chazal, but the order we'll forget about for the moment, but it's Minui Melech, basically. The obligation to destroy Amalek, and the obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash. So those are three, obviously very prominent. These are national institutions, all of which were required, not a coincidence, when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, right, that was a new stage or phase of their national identity. And it required a Beis HaBechira, we understand that. It required neutralizing an implacable enemy. That's more difficult to understand, but not for now. The obligation of Mocho Timcha Amalek and Zecha Amalek. And of course, at the head of the national political system is Minui Melech. And I say, it's clear in the Psukim, it's clear in the Minyan HaMitzvos, everybody counts Minyan HaMitzvos, the Melech. Again, there's some controversy about whether or not this is the way it always would have or should have been, or had Klal Yisrael, not asked for a king, or had Klal Yisrael at a certain point not asked for a king, maybe there would have been an unnecessary institution. That's a fascinating topic in its own right. But either way, the obligation, in Minyan HaMitzvos, and the centrality of it, the attention that it commands, is unequivocal. However, this is what I think is not so well noticed, but it occurred to me at some point. When you look at the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's role is somewhat less controversial than the Melech, and in some respects, it's as pivotal or more pivotal, as we'll soon see. But we do not find in the Torah any pasuk which speaks about the obligation to appoint a Kohen Gadol. And that's just a remarkable thing. We speak about Kohen HaGadol Me'achav. The Kohen Gadol is a matter of fact. He's there. And he's described in terms of his relationship with his brethren. The fact is that there's no, in Rambam at least, there's no mitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvos for this either. Even the way the Rambam presents the Kohen Gadol in Sefer Avodah is very striking. We have Avodah here, right? Yeah. It's very striking, just for, again, the matter-of-fact way that it's there. If you look in Minyan HaMitzvos in Sefer Avodah, you will not find it in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, which is the place that it should be. You'll find that there's an obligation to Sheyavod HaLevi B'Mikdash. Okay, there's an obligation of Sheloyasa again Echad Malachas Chaveru B'Mikdash, and then Lekadesh HaKohen LaVoda Sheyu Kol HaMishmaros Shavos B'Regalim Luvosh Bigdei Kehuna LaVoda. It's also fascinating because a lot of the psukim and a lot of even the focus of the Rambam, both in his Yad HaChazakah and in his Minyan HaMitzvos, is on Big Day Kohen Gadol, but in the formulation of the mitzvah, and actually in the psukim as well, there's a kind of an overlap and a bit of a ambiguity as to the relationship between Big Day Kohen Gadol and Big Day Kohen Hedjot. We'll talk about one aspect of that in just a couple of minutes. The point I'm trying to make, just looking at the Kotaret and looking at Minyan HaMitzvos, is there is no mitzvah to appoint a Kohen Gadol. The Rambam, of course, makes mention of the Kohen Gadol, but the order of the Rambam, interestingly enough, is again counterintuitive at first glance. Like he would have expected that in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, when he talks about the institution of Kahuna, well, we would have expected that it would have been from the top, down. And really, it's the exact opposite. It's Zera Levi Kulo Muvdal Avodas HaMikdash, right? Shenemar Ba'esahi Hivdil Hashem as Shevet HaLevi, that's Paragimel Halacha Aleph. And then you have the discussion of the Levium. In the discussion of the Levium, you have reference also to, or in comparisons to, the concept of Zar in Kohen. Then you have Paragdalid, which is HaKohanim, again, the same language. Huvdalu Miklala Levium, La'avodas HaKarbonos, Shenemar Vayabel Aaron LaHakdisho Kodesh Kodashim, Umitzas HaSei LaHavdil HaKohanim, Ulekadshom, Ulachinam, Lekarban, Mikidashto, Kislechem, Elotecho, Humakriv, Vitzorach Kalonim Yisrael Linhog Behem Kavod Harbe, Lahakdim Osom, Lekol Dover Shebekdusha, that's part of Mikidashto. So you have, first it starts with the Levium, then it starts with the Kohanim, as if to tell us that the Kohanim come from somewhere. The Levium aren't the, outer, extremities of the Kohen Gadol, Kohanim, Levim, it's the opposite. And the truth is, the Psukim bear this as well. So it's the Levim, the Kohanim are further separated, further an elite group within the Levim. With regard to the Kohanim, at least you have the Kidashto, which implies a Havdalah and some sort of a Minui. You have to treat them as a Dovah Shebe Kedusha, etc., etc. Then you have the discussion of the Mishmaros. And then in Halacha Yud, the Rama makes mention of the Kohen Gadol for the first time. Instead of, you know, trumpets, you know, in a kind of an announcement, you know, and then even more, you have the Kohen Gadol, you know, the appointment of the Kohen Gadol. Instead, it's en passant, it's agaburcha, hayah korban shel Kohen Gadol. He's talking about who, you know, how you divide up the mishmaros and how you divide up the avoda. So it's hayah korban shel Kohen Gadol, the hayah onen, no snow lekol Kohen sheyirtze. The orov avodasa leanche mishmar, kivin she Kohen Gadol haonen roi lavoda. Again, as we'll discuss in a minute, even a Kohen Gadol onen is somebody who is ra'ui la'voda, as opposed to every other Kohen who can't, even if he wants to. The Kohen Gadol is obligated in some respects. Kemoshi is bar, hareza osa shliach le'karbano. So since he, even as an onen, is a bal ha'voda, so he has the right, you know, to divvy up, I guess, you know, the parts of the korban. That's just the first time that the Kohen Gadol is mentioned, obviously in a specialized application of a certain halacha. Then you have, again, Rosh Mishmar. Then finally, in Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, we speak about the minui of the Kohen Gadol, but instead of formulating an obligation to appoint the Kohen Gadol and to separate him further from Echad HaKohanim, instead, it's very, again, it's a matter of fact. Umimanim Kohen Gadol, right? Not mitzvah lemanos, chayev lemanos, you know, no pasuk. Umimanim Kohen Gadol, right? Who is a Kohen Gadol? It's also strange, not strange really, but I mean, it's interesting. Who rosh lekol kohanim, right? As it comes from, there's a Levim. From the Levim, you separate out the Kohanim. From the Kohanim, they have to pick a leader. There has to be a leader. Who rosh lekol kohanim, v'moshtenos ha-b'shem ha-mishka, malbishenos ha-bigdei kohuna gedola. You know, in this case, the uniform partially makes the man, rather than the opposite. Shenemar v'hakohen hagadol me'achav asher yutzak al rosho shemen amishka. The Torah is very meduyak. It says som tasum alech. I'm contrasting it. Som tasum alech melech. It doesn't ever say appoint the Kohen Gadol, right? It says the Kohen Gadol, the one, right? Hagadol me'achav asher yutzak. He's a Kohen Gadol because of echav hakohen. And then we're told exactly how that happened. So the question is why? Why, if these two institutions are as similar as they seem to be, and they really are in many respects, why this sharp contrast, or at least what is to be made of this sharp contrast? But perhaps if we, I don't know the answer fully, but I think I know part of the answer, if we pay attention to the Rambam that we just read, the Rambam and the Ravid, perhaps we can gain some insight. So the Rambam continues in this halacha, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, when he describes the appointment of the Kohen Gadol. So the Rambam says the following. How do you appoint a Kohen Gadol? Mimanim Kohen Gadol, Rosh Lekol HaKohanim, Moshkin also B'Shemen HaMishka. In the early days, like the first Mikdash also, when they had Shemen HaMishka, right, the special anointing oil, so they poured that on him. That was the methodology, right, of investing Kedusha in the Kohen Gadol. Umalbishino so bigde kahuna gedola, and they garbed him with the special eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the bigde zahav, as they're called. Shenemar v'kohen ha-gadol me'achav asher yutzak, etc. Vim ein sham shemen ha-mishka, if there's no shemen ha-mishka, then marbino so bigde kahuna gedola bilvat. Then just dressing him in the uniform alone was sufficient, which is fascinating, because normal uniforms don't have that ability. Again, you can already see that the function, we also say avodasa mechanchaso, that sometimes, you know, the functioning alone will accomplish that. We're not going to get into that today, but that's an important factor as well. Shenem asher yutzak al rosho shemen hamishka umalei es yado lilbosh es habegadim. Kishem shemisraba v'shemen hamishka kach misraba v'begadim. And Chazal speak in the Gemara in Yuma about the relationship between a Kohen Gadol, Meruvah V'Gadim, and Mashuach, as we'll get to in a second. Yeah.
Isn't that the way that Elazar succeeded Aaron, right? By Albeishel
Saul? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what, is that a problem?
And then all of a sudden, he was Elazar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Both. Absolutely. That's the paradigm. 100%. That's not a problem. That's just a proof. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, 100%. Ketzad. So then the Rambam goes on and says the following. Ketzad marbinosa bebegadim. How do you, what is this ribui begadim that we're talking about? Lovesh shmona begadim. He wears the eight begadim, he poshed on, then he takes them off. The chos of a lovshon, lamachar. And then the next day, he does this again. In other words, he does the wardrobe, and then he takes it off. Right? Shivas yamim, yomachar yom, seven straight days. I mean, altogether, Shenemar Shivas Yamim Yil Beshem HaKohen Tachtav Mibana. Ukeshem Sheribi Begadim Zayin Kach Meshicha B'Shem and Amishka. Right, Shiva Yamim Yom Achar Yom. Just as the Ribi Begadim, we know from the Pesukim, is supposed to be done for a week, this wardrobe changing, so is Shem and Amishka. Vim Amad, rather, says the Rambam, Kodem Sheis Rabbah B'Begadim Kol Shiva, if he did the Avoda prior to having had ribui begadim 7 days, or kodim sheyimshach kol shiva, or before having shemen amishka for 7 days, avodaso kishera. B'diavad his avod. In other words, the chatzchila, the kohen gadol, should, when he is invested, should have a 7 day period where he doesn't do the avoda, but is simply invested in this way. But b'diavad the avoda is kishera. Why? Hold the nisraba unimshach pamachas b'diavad, if he has one ribui or one Mashiach, Nasa Kohen Gadol LeKol Davar. He becomes, and then the next halach in the Rambam is Ein Ben Kohen Mashuach, B'Shem and Amishka, L'Meruv B'Gadim, L'Parsha Mevi HaKada. The difference is between the situation where there is a Shem and Amishka and there's not. Yeah.
So what's the whole business about pointing a substitute
saying? Oh, we'll get to that. I mean, how do you do that? Well, they did that through Ribui B'Gadim, Navodaso Mechanchasa. So, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it.
You don't get the 7 days.
Right. They didn't have the 7 days. But the Ebed, they didn't have a choice. Right. That he was a backup. We'll get to that soon. That's why we say, Bidi Ebed, actually, I'll just tell you now, the Kesef Mishnah says, when the Gemara says, that Bim Abad Kodim Shis Rabbat Begadim Kol Shiva, and I'll explain why this is particularly significant in a moment, the Kesef Mishnah says, what does that mean? It means the Avoda of Yom Kippur. Here, umashikosavim avad hainu avoda shatzarech la kohen gadol, the hainu avodas yom kippurim. Zeu shesiyan the kosav nasa kohen gadol lekol davar, kloma afilu la avodas yom kippurim. Midiyaved, if you just put on the begadim, there's a debate between Rashi and the Rambam whether you had to only put on the begadim. It seems in the Gemara like he had to do something as well, like a quick avodasa mechankasa. Lahapech bitzinor. He had to do something.
Gotta be some
maisa. But what's that?
Gotta be some maisa.
Some maisa. I just said that, I think that. Yeah. Yeah. Lahapech bitzinor. He had to do something in the avod. Some of them.
Does Rambam require the hefshein?
What do you mean?
He's saying 7 days worth of ribui. Yeah. Just it seems he's saying he has to take it off.
Well, I mean, you're not.
Or the 7 days continuous.
I mean, can you wear? Well, the way he says it is lovesh uposhe. So it sounds like he thinks. It sounds like in the Gemara that lovesh uposhe. The example is, of course, Aaron HaKohen in the Miluim, where he did wear them and take them off. So it could be that you have to be poshate, and it could be that you have to be poshate in order to be considered being lovesh, right? So is the point 7 day, 7 continuous days of wearing the begadim, or is it to put them on and off? Seven different times.
And it looks across. Like you're saying,
sounds like you have to do. Right, I'm saying it could be that the poshate is for the sake of the initiative of lovesh. Hard to know.
Okay.
Right. This is actually an interesting issue whether poshate, on what happened with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, whether they're taking off as some sort of a status.
Parallel.
Anyways, okay. So this is the Rambam. Now the Ravid jumps in and says the following. Omer Avram, Nir Midbarav, from the Rambam it seems like, right, that Yamim Shahaya Bahem HaMashicha Lohaya Oved, that the 7 days which the Kohen Gadol was initiated, right? Either with Shemen HaMishcha, or when there was no Shemen HaMishcha with Ribui Vagadim, were days that otherwise he did not do the Avoda. He says, the Ein Zeh Min HaChachma, says the Rabbi, I don't think that's true. El Kisha Omru, Nisraba Shiva, B'Nimshak Shiva, this is an explicit Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Yoma, where the Gemara says this. The Gemara says that L'chatchila you require Meshicha 7 days, or Ribui Begadim 7 days. But what the Rabbi is trying to point out is that the Gemara learns this from Psukim, having to do with Aaron HaKohen and the Avoda of Yom Kippur. The drasha is from Psukim towards the end of the Parsha of Avodas Yom Kippurim in Parshas Achrimos. Says the Ravid, that's true, to be inan shiva lachatkila, hanimila lavodas Yom Kippurim. Aval avodos osan ayamim, the kol yom oved b'shmom b'gadim. The Ravid says, how do you know, how does the Rambam know that what the Gemara says in Yuma, based on a pasuk that is connected to Avodas Yom Kippurim, namely, that you require a 7-day initiating period for the Kohen Gadol, how does he know that that is a requirement in Minui Kohen Gadol? Maybe that's a requirement, lechatchila, right, of the Kohen Gadol's Avoda on Yom Kippur. After all, we do find that the, as we'll see in a moment, more than that, we find that the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is very singular, very unique. There are many halachos that are, you know, limited, you know, only, you know, to that day. So how does the Rambam, Rambam is saying this in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash? Not only that, what I've tried to point out just a second ago, is the Rambam is practically saying, I mean, Halacha Yud is the first time, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, is the first time the Rambam even mentions the Kohen Gadol, it's a matter of fact. Then comes Halacha Yud Aleph, I'm sorry, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, where he talks about, you know, the methodology of appointing a Kohen Gadol. This has nothing to do with Yom Kippurim, at least not explicitly. So how does he know from the drashos and from the Gemara about Yom Kippur that this is a universal requirement? The Rambam says, I think he's wrong. In fact, this is only a requirement in Yom Kippur, but if a Kohen Gadol is appointed in, you know, in April, you know, or whatever month, any other time of the year, then, you know, he gets a Ribui Begadim, or if he's in the time of Meshicha, 1 day, and then he's good to go. He can be Oved, big day Zahav. So the truth is that this is a very interesting argument. So you have, just to sum up, an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Rabban, right? Whether or not what's true for Yom Kippur, namely that lechatchila you require a 7-day initiating period for the Kohen Gadol, is that automatically applied to a Kohen Gadol more generally? Yeah.
Does the Rabban require that Kohen Gadol will only have 1 day of before Yom Kippur?
Say that again?
Every year you have to have the Kohen Gadol?
No. The Kohen Gadol has to be Poresh for 7 days. But that's not because of Ribui Begadim or Meshicha B'Shem. We'll get to that also, I hope. But
no requirement of...
Every year? No. Just when you appoint a new Kohen Gadol, I mean, there were many years where they were appointing Kohen Gadolim every year. But that's a coincidence. But if somebody's a long tenured Kohen Gadol, the only time that this halacha that we're talking about is only in his initiation. When he's first appointed Kohen Gadol, the Rambam thinks that he has a 7-day period, kind of like the Miluim a little bit, or what the Gemara describes based on Psukim in Avodas Yom Kippurim as a Yom Kippur lechatchila requirement that for 7 days he should be initiated before he does the Avoda. And the Ravid says that's not a requirement for Minui Kohen Gadol, that's a requirement for Avodas Yom Kippurim. From Minui Kohen Gadol Legabe Avodas Yom Kippur. But it's not a requirement for Minui Kohen Gadol during the year. In other words, if it's just time to, you know, and it's not a requirement every year for Avodas Yom Kippurim. No, once he's a Kohen Gadol, he's a Kohen Gadol. Okay? Good. Now, so I just want to take a step back and analyze this machlokas a little bit more in the following way. Number one, according to the Ravid, but the Ravid argues is technically true. Now, this narrowly, the Rabbit is correct. You know, in the Chabal El Chidusha, the Gemara says something about Avodas Yom Kippurim. How do we know that that's something that goes beyond Avodas Yom Kippurim, that is more universal you know, then that specific application, especially given that Avodas Yom Kippurim is a very special avoda and a very special day, right? On the other hand, you know, looking at it from the Rambam's point of view, what does the, why should there be a special requirement, right, of, why should the dinim of Minui Kohen Gadol, right, be affected by the application of his avoda, right? Maybe it's just an example. We're not talking about something that is specific to avodas Yom Kippurim, are we? Ah. So this is an interesting debate. So the Rav Zatzal thought that the Ravid will tell you that what's unusual about avodas Yom Kippurim is the fact that maybe it really isn't a din in Kohen Gadol per se at all. The Rav liked to the, you know, the piyutim very much, and the piyut of Atokonanta, and he noticed that the author of the piyut emphasizes a couple of times, instead of when he talks about Kohen Gadol, he calls him Tachas Aharon HaKohen. And of course, this really flows from a sensitive reading of the psukim, right, in Parshas Achrimos, right? Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aharon B'Kovasam Lifnei Hashem V'Yamusu, right? Daber al Aharon Achicha Yavo B'Cholei Sol HaKodesh, right? B'Zos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, B'Hikriv Aharon Misparachatas HaShalom, I'm picking out the Benosan Aharon Al Shneas Irm Goralos, B'Hikriv Aharon Misasair HaShalom Lava Goral, B'Hikriv Aharon Misparachatas HaShalom, you get the idea. Aharon gets, kind of goes missing for about 10 psukim in the middle, but it's, you know, it's v'hu v'hu. But what's particularly striking about the parsha is the personal emphasis on Aharon HaKohen, right? The connection to his personal tragedy, you know, and everything about the Avodas Yom Kippurim is personalized. Well, not everything, but a lot of it is personalized in the name of Aharon HaKohen. Surely that's a striking thing. Mefarshim on the Torah do speak about this. It's very striking. The only time that we know that this applies to other people is much later on, towards the end of the parsha. Again, this parsha begins in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Aleph, and it goes till you know, till the end, 35 on Psukim. So, B'chiper HaKohen, this is Pasuk Lamed Beis. B'chiper HaKohen, Asher Yimshachoso, V'Asher Yimaleis Yado L'Kahen Tachas Aviv, V'Labash is Bigdei Abad, Bigdei HaKodesh. V'chiperes Mikdash HaKodesh, Esol Moed, Esol Mizbech Yichaper, Ala Kohanim HaKol Ha'am HaKahal Yichaper, V'hoi Sezos Lachem L'Chukas Olam, V'chaper B'nei Yisrael Mikol HaTosam, Achas Pashana, V'yas Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So there are 34 psukim in this little parsha, and it takes till Pasuk 32 for the Torah to finally mention that this applies not only to Aharon HaKohen, but to his successors. V'chiper HaKohen asher yimshach oso, asher yimaleh es yado, l'kahen tachas aviv. And even then, it's tachas aviv. Right? But to say the Kohen Gadol, whoever he is. You could have universalized the whole parsha. And of course, it first applied to Aharon. And there was a context of his personal tragedy, you know, Achrei Mos. But still, the need to continuously emphasize the personality or the persona of Aharon HaKohen, instead of saying who, which the Torah is able to do in the 10 psukim, like in the middle, you know, then when you read back, you say, why do they, I mean, do we know it's Aharon? Right. So the Rav thought, based on the Atokananta, and obviously even more so, I'm assuming, I would say anyway, based on the psukim, that there are certain dinim of Avodas Yom Kippurim that are singular to Aharon HaKohen. And they apply to the Kohen Gadol Shebechol Dor V'Dor as the person who inherits the mantle of Aharon HaKohen. Oh. And there are certain other dinim that are B'Torah's Kohen Gadol. There's actually a very famous discussion in some of the Mefarshim whether Aharon HaKohen had special status, you know, when it came to being nichnas lifnai v'lifnit, because it says bezos yavo Aharon ala kodesh. So if you look at Rashi and Ramban, immediately they, you know, reject this idea. Rashi and Ramban say there's no difference between Aharon and any other Kohen Gadol. the protocol is the same, the requirements are the same, etc. Now that still doesn't mean that it's Aaron b'toras Kohen Gadol. It could still be Kohen Gadol b'toras tachas Aaron, but at least there are no differences. There's a famous medrash which all the Achronim picked up on, which says that there's a difference between Aaron HaKohen and everybody else. That Aaron HaKohen could actually be nichnas lifnai v'lifnim whenever he wanted, as long as he underwent the protocol. And the Grub took this even further. I'm not going to give all the details, since that's a different topic. I want to say something different here. But the Grub has a very famous comment where he explains, this is a classic Grub comment. If you look at Torah Shebichsav, so the whole Avodas Yom HaKippurim, is really, as he points out, three Tvilos and six Kiddushim. In other words, how many times did Aaron, change his clothes, etc. But Chazal say, it's Torah Shebaal Peh, that it's Hey Tvilos and Yud Kiddushim. Right? So you have to kind of, read certain psukim according to the Mesorah, right, in order to get that. And even then, exactly how you do that, there's Rashi and Rambam and Ramban. Okay, fine. So what the Gra says is, that why is it that the Torah Shebichsav is written in such a misleading fashion, if the Mesorah is that this is not accurate? So there's a famous Gra in Kol Eliyahu, and Chayadam picked up on it, and he expanded a little bit, and it caught the imagination of, many, many Mefarshim. So the Gra says there are two dinim, basically, in Avodas Yom HaKippurim. There's the din of Kohen Gadol, like in Pasuk Lamed Beis, the successors of Aaron HaKohen, and that's where Torah Shebaal Peh comes into play, and that, of course, is on Yom Kippur itself. Only time Yom Kippur is mentioned is in the end of the Parsha. Otherwise, it says, Bezos Yavo Aaron HaLakodesh. We'll get back to that. But then there's another din, and that is if Aaron HaKohen personally wants to be nichnas lefnai v'lefnim, not on Yom Kippur, right? So he also undergoes mostly the protocol. He undergoes the protocol of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh here are a double layer, right? One refers to Aaron HaKohen, right? Anytime, and the other, it's a fascinating, and for the Gra, it's a very paradigmatic, kind of a parish. But what it highlights, of course, then you have to figure out, what is the relationship of these two things, that it certainly accentuates that Aaron HaKohen had a special role in the part. For the Gra, and he makes a comment in Kol Eliyahu, he says, that's why the Torah keeps saying Aaron, 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 right? Only mentions Kohen Gadol later on, and also, why does it repeat Aaron so many times? As if to hammer home that there's a special yichus for Aaron. Okay. So, that is one possibility, and that could be, was the Rav's explanation of the Ravid, that the din that you require 7 days of preparation, 7 days of initiation, that's not a din in Kohen Gadol, and in Minui Kohen Gadol, that's a din in Avodas Yom HaKippurim, it's the din in Tachas Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen required in the Miluim, this Rav didn't say, but I'm adding, I think this is what he meant, and if not, I think it stands in its own right. Meaning the idea is that Aaron HaKohen in the Miluim required a 7-day period of initiation where he didn't do the Avodah. Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah wearing a chaluk. Right? So on Yom Kippur, which is Aaron's day, that I think that's how you would explain it, you need this l'chatchila as well. But Kol HaShana, or in other contexts where we're dealing with the Kohen Gadol, the Torah, the Kohen Gadol, there's no such din. However, they say in the name of Reb Chaim, or some people say in the name of Reb Chaim, one of the Mipia Shmua Sfarim from the family, that Reb Chaim explained the Ravid a little differently. Reb Chaim thought that what the Ravid, may have in mind is that when the Kohen Gadol is Oved Kol Shana, even though he wears different begadim, he wears the Bigdei Zahav, right? The 8 begadim, and they're of a different quality. There are many differences, but in the end of the day, do you need the Kohen Gadol to do the Avoda Kol Shana? Right? The truth is, this is what I want to build on, you really only require a Kohen Gadol, in the Mikdash, for his Minchas Chavitin, which is a quasi-personal korban. Notice I said quasi. I think it's more complicated than that. And he has certain prerogatives. He's Nota Barosh. If he wants to be involved in the Avodah, he can be involved as much as he wants. He gets preference in terms of what he gets to take. There are many dinim of the Kohen Gadol, Mikdash Shal Yetzeh, and Onen, and Tumah, all the all the special, his own carbon. But in terms of the avoda, the daily avoda in the mikdash, you don't really need the Kohen Gadol. Again, minchas chavitin is tricky, because it isn't just the personal, I said, quasi. If you didn't have a Kohen Gadol, if there was no Kohen Gadol in the mikdash, you'd have to find some other way to bring the minchas chavitin. That's a tricky business. On the other hand, minchas chavitin is quasi, because it's also the same korban that a minchas chinuch. It's also the korban that a regular kohen, the first time a kohen brings his own, does the avoda, he needs initiation. We call that minchas chinuch. The minchas chinuch and the minchas chavitin are roughly the same korban. But there's no requirement that you don't need a kohen gadol for any other avoda the entire year. So people don't realize it's a fascinating thing. When do you need a kohen gadol? On Yom Kippur. So Reb Chaim says that's what the Ravid had in mind. Meaning, not the, what the Rav said, which is the difference between Aaron and a kohen and the kohen gadol. The difference between the kohen gadol, betoras, the, where you need the avoda of betoras kohen gadol, and a kohen gadol where he is being oveid, but big days of, but you don't dafka need a kohen gadol. There's no chalos avodas kohen gadol. If that's the case, so then let's go back to the Rambam. So what does the Rambam think? So I mentioned before that the Kesef Mishnah says that if you, when the Rambam says if you go ahead, the Kohen only gets, you know, one day or less than 7 days of either Mashiach or Ribbon Begadim, then B'dieved Avodaso Avoda. So it's fascinating that the Kesef Mishnah, I think gratuitously, says, what does avodaso avoda mean? The avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Right? What motivated him to say that? Maybe to bridge the Ravid's objection, but I think it's more than that. Meaning, the Ravid thinks that the avoda that the Kohen Gadol does all year round, the big days of, not required, it's not a chalos avodas Kohen Gadol, or at least there's no chiyuv, and then there's something different on Yom Kippur. But what I think the Rambam is really saying is that the din that we know of from Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur, from the Psukim in Parshas Achrimos and the Gemara in Masechet Yoma about Yom Kippur, willy-nilly must apply to any minui of a Kohen Gadol, because the Ravid's more right, even than, assuming that's what he means, even more right than he thinks. Meaning, when you appoint a Kohen Gadol any time during the year, what you're really doing is appointing him in a way that he is mukshar to be oveid on Yom Kippur. Because that's the real chalos of a Kohen Gadol. In other words, getting back to our original question, why is it that when it comes to a melech, the minui, right, is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, and such a mitzvah, and it's clear in the psukim and a minyan of mitzvahs, and it's not a bottom-up thing, it's a top-down thing. You know, she hey maso a mascha alecha, but not in Kohen Gadol. And I think the answer is because the Kohen Gadol is defined by his avoda on Yom Kippur. The mitzvah of Kohen Gadol is integrated with the mitzvah of avodas Yom Kippurim, and that I believe happens in two opposite directions. Number one, the Kohen Gadol is defined by his work on Yom Kippur, by the potential of his work on Yom Kippur. I'll explain that in just a minute. At the same time, Yom Kippur is by definition defined by the central role that the Kohen Gadol as a persona plays on that day. So let me explain what I mean. The truth is, when you think about it, in addition to the fact that the, I mean, to have this Kohen Gadol, basically he works one day a year. Right? Achas Bashana. Not just any old day. Right? It's the pivotal day, you know, of the year. And again, he can work other days too. You understand what I'm saying? What's that?
He can, but he doesn't have to.
Yeah, he can, but he doesn't have. Exactly. And even what he does, oh. At the same time, this Kohen Gadol, you know, because of his work on Yom Kippur, or the opposite, I think both are two sides of the same coin, has many special standards. For example, we said before, and these special standards, I'll just, you know, make it quicker, highlight two elements. Number one, the fact that the persona of the Kohen Gadol is somebody who is Kulo Lashem, right? Even to some extent, you know, in an extreme way for other people, but something that is necessary for the tzibur, I'll explain in a minute. And he's also kulo l'klal Yisrael. He represents the Kohanim who represent Klal Yisrael in the Avoda, you know, Shluchei Didan and Shluchei Derachma. For example, every other Kohen, as we know, is mistamei, right, lemeis of his family, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol, right? Min Amigdash Lo Yetze, he's makrivonein, right, and he's actually only mistamei to a meis mitzvah, which is a very remarkable halacha, meaning he sets aside his own family. We wouldn't allow this for others, right? Not just it's not an ideal that we try to, you know, emulate. It's an important principle for there to be one member of Klal Yisrael, right, who embodies, you know, Kula Lashem and Kula La'am, you know, even to some extent to the exclusion of a hierarchy of his family, even in sensitive areas, and that's the Kohen Gadol. So he's mistame to a meis mitzvah because of his obligations to Klal Yisrael, but he's not mistame to his own family. And he's makriv onein. The korban that he brings every day is a topic in its own right. The minchas chavitim, which I say is a very interesting korban. But if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalid, it's brought in two parts. But the way the Rambam formulates it, if I get a chance, I'm not going to chance later, so we'll do it another time maybe, but the way the Rambam formulates it is it's made as a single preparation, and then you split it. You split all the loaves. The Ravid in Hilchos Maaser Karbanos says, why do you do that? Just take the ingredients and put together, it's a mincha. Put together two, you know, minchas with the same shear. The Rambam says, you make the loaves, and then you cut each one in half. Approximately. Do the best you can. The Rebbe says, I don't understand why you do that, where you got it from. Now, what does this mean, do the best you can? You know, aren't there shiurim for karbanos? Why don't you have to have like a precise measure? What's the idea of the Rambam? The personal korban of the Kohen Gadol, which isn't completely personal, and in Chazal, this is a big issue. You know, does it have the status of a korban tzibur, or a korban yachid? Again, if there's no Kohen Gadol yet, Klal Yisrael needs this korban anyway. On the other hand, as I said, it overlaps the minchas chinuch. But the idea of the Rambam is that the Kohen Gadol doesn't bring. It's not like tmidim, you bring one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Basically, the Kohen Gadol in the time frame of the avoda is brings half his korban in the morning, and he's in the middle of his korban all day until the end of the day, until the end of the korban day, meaning he's always on call, just like Ben HaMikdash Layetze. There's a debate, just give me one more second. There's a famous debate in the Rishonim, including the Rambam and the Ravid, you know, whether or not a Kohen is allowed to wear his begadim, especially the begadim that have kilayim, shelo b'shas avoda. Right? The Rambam, without saying so, which is also fascinating, if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, and again in the end of Hilchos Kilayim, so the Ravid is of the opinion that, you know, the Kohen Gadol, I mean, any Kohen can wear the Big Day Kuhuna, Shalom B'Shas Avoda. The Rambam doesn't say it explicitly, but it's clear from what he says, as the notes of Kalim point out, that a Kohen Gadol can wear the Big Day Kuhuna, even Shalom B'Shas Avoda, even if it's Kalai. But a Kohen Hedjot cannot. But it kind of doesn't articulate it fully. So, why is there that difference? That's a whole discussion. The Radvaz in Hilchos Kilayim, in the end of Hilchos Kilayim, says that the reason is because the Kohen Gadol is makriv owning, and min amikdash layetze, meaning he's always on, even when he's not being oved. You know, he's the persona of the Kohen Gadol is somebody who's ra'ui, you know, the omeid. You know, Leos Makri. So the idea of Shalom B'Shas Avodaso doesn't really apply to the Kohen Gadol. Interesting idea. Yeah?
I was going to say that the point that you made earlier, that he's Kulal Hashem and Kulal Ha'am,
Yeah.
Maybe that's the whole reason that the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is introduced Afrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron. Why do I need that?
Right.
In other words, you could just say Yidavar Hashem El Aaron and so on.
Very good.
Why do I need the introduction Afrei Mos?
Right.
To tell you that this coin is special. He has a different category than the other Shulchanim. And in the sense that the
Afrei
Mos doesn't apply to him.
Right. And we see that, again, his Aninus and his, right. As much as it affected him by Yidom Aaron, etc., was such a tragedy, but he had to go on. I like it very much. I think it's a good horror. Let me mention something else. The Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Perakei, says something which is unsourced. I mean, we don't know where it comes from. The Rambam says that, where's that? The Rambam says that the I think it's Perakei. Yeah, Perakei Halacha Zayin. Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim. Ubayis Yelom Buchan B'Mikdash. Uhu Anikra Lishkas Kohen Gadol. He had an office or a house in the Mikdash. Right, B'Tifarto Kvodo Shiye Yoshev B'Mikdash Kalayom. That's also an interesting language. Tifarto ukvodo, the chavodul tifares, we associate that normally with the begadim, right? So tifarto kvodo, the same reason that he wears those begadim, I'm guessing that's what the Rambam means, is a reason why he should hang out. He should be present in the mikdash as much as possible. That's part of his tifares and his kavod. That's consistent, with that idea. Velo yetze, right? Elal beso bilvad, balayla. Right, Osho Oshtaim Bayom. I guess there were different Kohen Gadols, they had different schedules. But then he adds, V'yeh Beso B'Yerushalayim Ve'eno Zaz Misham. And there's a discussion of the Mefarshim, like where did the Rambam get this last bit from? Well, first of all, the Tifarto and the Kvodo, I think, is already fascinating, as I've already indicated. But he's supposed to live in Yerushalayim and Ve'eno Zaz Misham. He shouldn't leave. I don't know whether that means he never leaves or he should try not to leave. What is that? Why does he have to live in Yerushalayim? But Yerushalayim, number one, I think it's Lishitaso. There's a famous view of the Rambam articulated in Pirshei Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah and in Sukkah. There the Gemara talks about, Tkiya Shofar B'Mikdash and Lulav B'Mikdash. So what does Mikdash mean? So Rashi always says Mikdash means Mikdash. The Rambam says in Pirshei Mishnayos that Mikdash means Mikdash and Yerushalayim. And in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, also the Rambam speaks about Kedushas Yerushalayim, Kedushas HaMikdash, Kedushas HaShchina, Eina B'Teila, very famous Rambams. The Rambam thinks that Yerushalayim and the Mikdash have the same Kedusha. What is the significance of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash? It's a place of Kula Lashem. And it's also a place, Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim, it's a place that belongs to all of Kal Yisrael. So the idea that, he hangs out in the Mikdash and, he doesn't go very far and his home should be in Yerushalayim, in Zaz Misham, the Kohen Gadol is always there, he's always on call. Even when he's not in the Mikdash, l'kavod l'tifares, he's in Yerushalayim. So these are all phenomena. When you think about it, his standards reflect that as well. He can only, we'll see in a second, he's only supposed to marry a basula, right? He has a special, karban, when he's chote. And not all Kohenim Gedolim lived up to this great image or standard. That's a different story. But in the end of the day, the institution of Kohuna Gedola is focused on this particular message. It's very possible that indeed that is the idea of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Because what is Yom Kippur? Again, of course, it's a day, as the Rambam puts it, of Ketz, Slicha, Umechila, Le'yachid, Ularabin, famous language of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. But I think that it could be demonstrated that, V'nisim es nafsho seichem, the real point of Yom Kippur is, of course, Tshuva, but it's Tshuva that relates to the total personality. It's a tshuva that flows from the idea of Kula Lashem. It's the one day a year where we establish our credentials, our ability, to do that, so that the more balanced life that we lead all year round isn't perceived as an inability to rise to that standard, but maybe as an even more ambitious or aspirational way to apply it. We live in the world and we have a balanced life, not because we can't, but because we think that that's an even more, you know, ambitious way to apply Kol Hashem. But then once a year at least, or in the personality of the Kohen Gadol, embodied in that personality, you know, we have the symbol of what that is supposed to be. Oh. So I think that this is reflected just even in the Psukim. Was there a question?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What aspect of the Kohen Gadol is the fact that it sits? Is Marusa, if it's a carbon that's puzzle and he's wearing that sits, then it's not sure the carbon.
Yeah.
So that's another example that even though he has a continuous role in terms of the...
Correct. And then there's a question of whether he's wearing it, he wasn't wearing it. But again,
wherever he is, even though he's not doing it.
Yeah, it's the persona, somehow the connection to the persona of the Kohen Gadol. And especially the idea that the tzitz is a, I like that very much, I think it's true, is a tachshit. What is a tachshit? Tachshit is what you would call it jewelry, or but what is jewelry? Right? The idea of jewelry is that it brings out something that is already there. Right? A beged, you know, has its own function. A tachshit doesn't have a function. A tachshit highlights an existing strength, or it accentuates it. And the tzitz for the Kohen Gadol accentuates, and what does it say? Kol Hashem. Right? That's exactly what it says. It pronounces that, al mitzcho, or shalom mitzcho, as the case may be in its meratza, 100%. So, let me just bring this back to Yom Kippur now. What I'm really trying to suggest, then, is that the personality of the Kohen Gadol and the day of Yom Kippur have a dialectical or dual relationship. That each one is defined by the other. I sometimes call this that Yom Kippurim is the day of the Kohen Gadol. That's part of its Kiddusha Sayyam. If you look at the Psukim, I think it's very, very clear. The Zos Yavo Aaron Ela Kodesh, you know, Bepar, you know, Lechatas V'Ayel Le'ola. The personal karbonos of Aaron, the role of, I forget, I'm not talking about with Rav's idea, although I think it fits in very nicely also. I'm not talking about Aaron as opposed to Kohen Gadol or Kohen Gadol B'Toras Aaron now, although again, maybe we should look at that differently too in light of all this. But even without that, what I'm saying is, if you look at the Psukim in Achrimos, like I said before, the Kohen Gadol, the Yom Kippur and Kohen Gadol come later. It's all about the personal korban of the Kohen Gadol, or Aaron as the first Kohen Gadol to begin with. Bezos Yavo Aaron Alakodesh, Bepar Lechatas Ve'ayel Le'ola. And then the Torah goes on to explain, you know, what he does with his par, what he does with his ayel. The par and the ayel of the Kohen Gadol, which are personal korbanos after he bought with his own finances, are mentioned and have almost equal press in Torah Shabbat Tzav as the Shnei Atzeirim. It's an amazing thing. And they come first. It's Bezos Yavo Aaron, it's the power and the ayel, and only then the Shnei Atzeirim. Moreover, look at the Psukim. I want to end a little earlier, so I'm not going to meet inside. We're doing more of a talk, I guess. If you look at the Psukim, you know, you do the hazos of the, just reading the Torah Shabbat Tzav. You sprinkle the dam, you know, bifnim, the very unusual avoda on Yom Kippur, you know, on the nokom of the Kodesh Kodashim, bifnai bifnim, it's also over Aaron ala Kodesh, bifnai bifnim, on the paroches, then later on the Mizbeach Hazav, the Mizbeach HaKetores. But the way the psukim are written, you take the par, first you do the zrika of the par, and then the Torah says, and then you take the Klal Yisrael's korban, the seir, hanasa bifnim, right? And you do what you did with the par. When you think about it, meaning Klal Yisrael's korban tzibor, you know, is follows the Kohen Gadol's personal korban. And then what do you do? Something even more remarkable: you mix the dams together. Right, the two, the par and the seir nasa bifnim, you know, and then you sprinkle them together. You put them together on the karnos of the mizbeach. You mix the personal carbon of Aaron and the carbon of Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. Like, where do we find such a phenomenon? There are 10 references to Shem Hashem HaMeforash on Yom Kippur. Right? It's the three viduyim, and you know, Lashem Chatas, when you when you do the Gorel for the two Seirim. It's like 10. That's considered like an important, just like the 5 Tvilos and the 10 Kiddushin, the 10 Shemos Hashem are considered like a framework of the Avodah. 2/3 of them, basically, are on the par. Right? The two viduyim that the Kohen Gadol does for himself and for his family members. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. About 10, and they're two-thirds of them belong to the Kohen Gadol. This is the way it is. Indeed, there's a huge debate in the Rishonim, maybe it's for another time to go into detail perhaps, another year maybe. What is the actual status of the par and the ayil of the Kohen Gadol? If you look at the Gemara in the first parak of Yuma, so Vamed Beis to Chesamid Aleph, and then later Mem Tes to Nun Aleph, there's a huge debate, really. Is it a Karban Yachid? There's a lot of evidence that it's a Karban Yachid. He has to buy it. It's his personal Karban. Is it a Karban Shutfus with the Kohanim? Because they're included in the second Vidui, right? And they have Bailus, some strange mechanism, you know, that the Torah is Mafkir, the Karban, so that the rest of, you know, the Kohanim could be Bailam on that Korban. But how does that really work? That's a debate among the Far. There are a lot of interesting things to say, but we're not going to get into the details. Is it a Korban Yachid, a Korban Shutfus, or a Korban Tzibur? Gemara has in the first parak a whole discussion about whether Tuma, Hutra, Betzibur. Does Tuma, Hutra, Betzibur apply to the par and the ayil of the Kohen Gadol? Is there Tmura on these Korbanos? That's a Gemara later on, Memtes. What happens if when the Kohen Gadol dies and the new Kohen Gadol takes his place? What happens then? It's called, Chatos, Shemesu, Balayim. Does that apply or not? I'm just trying to show you that there's there are a number of sugyas, and they have to look at how the Mefarshim treated them, that already struggle with defining, what exactly these Korbanos of the Kohen Gadol are. Why? Because their prominence in the Avodah is unquestioned. Where do we find? This is for Klal Yisrael. Even think of it another way. We don't believe in vicarious atonement. You know, we in Judaism, we pride ourselves in that. And yet, how much of the Avodah on Yom Kippur is a spectator sport? You know, this is where the Kohen Gadol is doing everything, practically. And, we're on the sidelines watching. Even the Baal Musaf. And then when it finishes, they sang songs to the Kohen, Mara Kohen, and they made a, party for him. Where did Klal Yisrael go in all this? But it's not vicarious atonement. Because that's what the Kohen Gadol, to begin with, is a person who's supposed to embody this for Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur. That's the source of his status all year round, or his preparation all year round. And that's part of what Yom Kippur is for Klal Yisrael. It merges the Yachid, the Tzibur, the Shutfus, the national and the individual. That's part of the story of Yom Kippur itself. Yeah.
Isn't it like
Shlichus? It is, but it's a Shlichus, where... What's different about the Shlichus is that the personality of the Kohen Gadol, of the Shliach, is part of the content. Typically, when you have a Shlichus, you have, everybody has the same level of obligation, and you pick a random, person to represent you. But I'm saying, this is a Shlichus where this person specifically can be the only Shliach for the Shlichus. Because it's the merging of everybody's interests and his representation of that, and the way that he's living his life, to accomplish that. And that's a very unique, kind of a thing. This expresses itself, according to, I believe, especially for the Rambam, in the standards of the Kohen Gadol as well. So, for example, again, just speak more generally, as we know, the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Yuma, first Mishnah, already clear, the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur, right? And he could only be married to one wife. You know, polygamy, you know, was biblically permitted, right? But the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur couldn't have more than one wife. And the Mishnayos, of course, already, and the Gemara has these discussions, and it was referred to before, you know, go make contortions to try to make sure that, you know, he will be Tamei, he'll be able to be Oved, you know, because his wife, Chalila, won't die at the last minute, so he won't have, you know, to make sure that he doesn't have two wives, so he can't have a backup wife. You know, it's remarkable. I'm not going to go into those details now. It's possible to understand all those Gemaras in a narrow way, meaning, you know, it's about Safek, Safek Tumma, and Safek this and that. But when you step back and you think about it, the ensuring the availability or the access to a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is something which is so pivotal that we do all these contortions. We have to make sure that he's the right person and he's there. And think Sfeikos and against Chazakos that we normally... I'll say something else, and that is, when you appoint a Kohen Gadol, a replacement Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, because you have to look very carefully at those laws. Again, this is for another time, maybe. You know, whether they comply or conform with the exact same laws of normal appointment of Kohen Gadol, or the appointment on Yom Kippur, because of Avodas Yom Kippur is different, that's one thing. But what's also fascinating is once you appoint a replacement Kohen Gadol, he's a Kohen Gadol. The first Kohen Gadol goes back to the job, but so the Gemara says Malin Bakodesh Velo Maridin. But again, it's something to think about. Is it Stam Malin Velo Maridin, or this is considered Malin and therefore Lo Maridin? Because if you substitute for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you really are the Kohen Gadol. It's not just like, you know, you stepped into his shoes for the day. No, that would be true maybe for something else, but not if the Avodah of Yom Kippur really defines him. You have to see whether Malin Velo Maridin is used in that Gemara in a way that is typical or because of this factor. But let me tell you something else. The Kohen Gadol has to be married, and he can't be married to two wives. Right? What's fascinating is, if you look at the Gemaras in Yuma, one would think that that's a requirement of Yom Kippur. But the Rambam, in Hilchos Isuri Bia, Perikid Zayin, Halacha Yud Gimel, right, says that this is a requirement all year round. Right? The Rambam says that a Kohen Gadol, at least part of it, Mitzvah Seil Kohen Gadol, She Yisa Nara Besula, that's also an issue in its own right, meaning, is he obligated to get married to a Nara Besula, or this is an Isra Aseh, meaning he can't marry anybody else? Some of them, unfortunately, think that he's really obligated to marry a Nara Besula. Umishativgar Tesar Alav, etc., and then it says Ve'ena Nose Shtei Nashim Li Olam Kiachas Shenemar Isha Achas Velo Shtayim. Ram has Zolimud, but Ram says the Kohen Gadol is never allowed to have more than one wife. Says the Ravid, Omer Abram Lo Nischabra Zos Hasvara Shela Omer Masechet Yuma Ela Beis Omer Achmana Velo Shtei Batim Ve'efsher Shelo Nesar Shtei Nashim. And then he goes on to ask his question. Basically, what's going on is, I think there's a pattern in the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid sees Avodas Yom Kippurim as a very specific, you know, separate halakha. Again, separate completely or separate because that's the only expression of Kohen Gadol, I'm not sure. That's what I was saying before. But the Rambam, Lashitaso, sees the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur as defining, and I'll explain in both directions, who the Kohen Gadol is all year round. So basically, Rambam says that a Kohen Gadol, without a Gemara, that a Kohen Gadol in his own Pasuk, that a Kohen Gadol all year round can only be married to one wife. And the Ravid says that's a din in Yom Kippur. And then the Ravid adds, of course, you know, it would be very awkward. You know, every Erev Yom Kippur, he's going to start divorcing one of them. Which one? He doesn't say which one. But, I mean, well, it's going to be, you know, it's not a wise thing. But that's different than saying it's a halacha and quoting psukim. This is, where does he get that from? So the Rav thought that that this idea is that, he's not saying exactly what I'm saying, but the Rav said the din of Kohen Gadol is that he should be roi kol shana lavod b'yom HaKippurim. That's what the Rambam felt. I'm taking that a step further. I'm saying the reason that is true is because what defines kedushas kahuna gedola is the avoda on Yom Kippur. But let me take it a step further. The Rambam, interestingly enough, Minchas Chinuch says it's fascinating that the Rambam here in Isurei Bia mentions this din of two wives. He says it's fascinating that he never mentions it where the Gemara mentions it, and that is with regard to Yom Kippur. If you look in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol has to be married, but he never says that the Kohen Gadol has to be married to only one woman. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. He says that's strange, not only that he has this chiddush about Kol Shana, but that he dropped the din on Yom Kippur. But it's not true, because the Rambam in Hilchos Maisar Karbanos actually does have that halacha. Perikei Halacha Yud. The Rambam mentions that on Yom Kippur he can't be married to two wives. He refers to what he wrote in some reason Minchas Chinuch dropped this Rambam. Far biyarna b'sefer kedusha shu aser v'almana u'mitzuva l'besula ve'ena nosei shtei nashim v'imnasa shtayim ena yachal lavod b'yom atzom ad shigarish la'achas. Okay, so but what I thought was that it's fascinating that the Rambam has this halacha twice. He mentions it twice, and once he mentions it with regard to Yom Kippur, but he still doesn't mention, Minchas Chinuch is right, he doesn't mention it where he should mention it. He doesn't mention it in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim. Right? So the Rav's idea, which I think is correct, which is that the Kohen Gadol is defined, you know, by his worthiness to be somebody who could do the Avoda. I think that's a very profound and true idea. But I would suggest that that isn't the whole idea. Because then at the end of the day, he still has to mention it in Avodas Yom HaKippurim, because that's the Mechayev. So what I think is, are two other elements, one I think I've spoken of here in the past, and that is the idea of Achas Bashana, the relationship of Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. But closely related to that, what I'm saying now, and that is, it's not just that the Kohen Gadol all year round has to be Roy B'Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur's role is based on the personality of who the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be. What the Rambam is telling us very profoundly is that on Yom Kippur, having two wives is ma'akev. But the reason that is true is because it's inconsistent with the Kedusha personality of the Kohen Gadol, Kol Shana. There wouldn't be an ikuv on Yom Kippur if it wasn't the din Kol Shana. So the Rambam, I believe, explicitly omitted it from Avodas Yom HaKippurim to try to show that a Yom HaKippurim is an application, but it isn't the Mechayev. The real din is the Gavra Kohen Gadol. Okay. So this, again, is based on the idea that there is a merging of the personality of the Kohen Gadol. And okay, let me give one more before we conclude, and then I have to get going, but we'll try to keep it shorter than usual. There's a major debate, we're not going to go into all the details, about the scope of the Kohen Gadol's involvement in the Avoda on Yom Kippur. Everybody's aware of this argument, I'm sure. Right? The Brisa says in Yuma, a few places, you know, that the Kohen Gadol has to preside on Yom Kippur, on the Avoda, the entire Avoda. But there's a major, major debate in the Rishonim, like how comprehensive is it? I'm just going to give one or two examples. I just want to provide an approach. Balamor, for example, is well known, and Daf Chavav and Yoma says it applies that there were no payasim on Yom Kippur. Even the Trumas Hadeshen was, everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. And the Ramban in Mochamos disagrees. I was going to read part of it, but it's a little late, so we'll skip it, maybe for another time, the details. But basically what the Ramban says is there was a Trumas Hadeshen, because that was an Avodas Halayla. Trumas Hadeshen, the cleaning of the ashes every day, that was done, didn't have to be done in the morning. That's not part of the Avoda, it's yesterday's Avoda. Even if you do it today, it's yesterday's Avoda. Then the Ramban says, and there were other things like the Dishun HaMenorah, you know, cleaning out the menorah, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and, you know, the setting up the Maracha, and the Gizrei HaEitzim. There are a bunch of things, says Ramban, that, you know, have nothing to do with the Avoda of Yom Kippur, And the Kohen Gadol didn't have to get involved in those things, and they argue about this. Balitosis already argued about this. Then there's an interesting, a third shita, and that's the Ritva, also well known, a Daf Yud Beis. Kesef Mishnah quotes it. Doesn't quote it as the Ritva, he quotes it as Ramban, but it's the Ritva. And that is, the Ritva says that whatever was specific to Avodas Yom HaKippurim required the Kohen Gadol. But the Tmidim and the Musafim, the menorah and those kind of things, that did not require, not just the Dishon, the other stuff, the Ketorah Shel Kol Yom, that did not require the Kohen Gadol. And then the Ritva adds, and he says, however, it was a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to do that as well, and Midrabanan, they were Mechayevim to do it. But, for example, if there was a factor of Chalishas, Kohen Gadol, if it was something like too heavy, so then they let him off the hook. That's a Ritva. Okay. It's a very interesting argument. So there are really two ways to understand the argument. One way to understand it is that it's really a machlokas about the individual components that are being debated. In other words, is it really true that the Trumas HaDeshen, you know, belongs to the previous day and isn't also part of the daily, avoda? And what about, you know, the tmidim and other things that are done every day? On Yom Kippur, do they integrate? Do they become part of the whole picture of the avoda or not? Meaning there's one part of the argument, clearly, which is about what happens to, we'll call more generic elements of the avoda on Yom Kippur. Do they become Yom Kippur defined or not? They become part of the big avoda. That's a fascinating argument, very complicated. However, I think, certainly for the Ritva, and I'll explain the Rambam in just a second as well, what this will conclude, I think that a case could be made that for some of the Mefarshim, that's not the main argument. There can be an acknowledgement that there are elements, things that are done on Yom Kippur that have nothing to do with the Avodas Yom HaKippur. And yet, maybe there's a requirement for the Kohen Gadol. That's maybe some of the people think that the Hilchatchila should do the Trumas HaDeshen, they know it belongs to yesterday's, you know, Avoda. Or, I'll take the Ritva for a moment. The Ritva says, Midrabanan, they're Mechayevim, but it's only, but it's a Kiyam Daraisa, and Midrabanan, they made him do these things. Well, what's that compromise? In other words, if you say that it's only Midrabanan Chiyuv, you're acknowledging that it isn't part of the Avoda. So why Lechatchila Midaraisa should he do it? And then he goes on to say, as I said before, but if it's too hard for him, then even Midaraisa doesn't have to do it. But since when did the degree of difficulty become a... they say that doing the Ketoros was the most difficult thing ever. You have to do that. But I think the idea, I'll just highlight it one more way. The Rambam, actually, when he talks about the Kohen Gadol's obligation to do, to preside over the Avoda, first of all, he begins by emphasizing not the special and unique elements, but specifically the more generic ones. The Yom HaTzom Makrivim Tomid B'Shachar Tomid Bein Rabayim. He says the Yom HaTzom, I think it's also, the Rambam says the word the Yom Tzom here, and in the Rambam that I read before about marriage. Makrivim Musaf Hayom Par V'Ayil Ud Makrivim Yesar Musaf Zeh Par Ben Bokar L'Chathos V'Hum Nisraf Ayil Ola Shneam Mishal Kohen Gadol Ayil Abba Mishal Tzibur. Rambam lists all the Karbonos, but he starts with the generic ones. And then he says, and there are 15 of them, we all could count. Nimtzu kol behemos hakreivim b'yom zeh chameshes, phrase it to say, all the 15 are treated as one unit. Shnei tmidim, and he counts them again in a different way. Par shnei elim shivas kvasim. And then he says, avodas kol chamisha asar behemos elu hakreivim b'yom zeh, heina ela b'koin gadol bilvad. And then he adds, v'im haisa shabbos, Af Musaf Shabbos ain makar voso ala Kohen Gadol. And there are other diukim to make. I'm not going to get into this. I want to add. In other words, the Rambam does two things that are fascinating. Number one, he has a very expansive view of what the Kohen Gadol needs to do. Number two, he emphasizes and starts with the Tmidim, Dafka, the generic ones. And then he adds something which, again, the Mefarshim note that there's no makar for. And he says if Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, that the Kohen Gadol has to bring also, he has to preside over the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. This triggered a lot of discussion in the Achronim. I'll just give you my take. There are those who wanted to say, the Or Sameach and others, that this is based on the Gemara in Zvachim, which seems to say that when you have the convergence of two different Kedushos, that they really integrate. Gemara says there that a Tamid that's brought on Shabbos is a Shabbos Dika Tamid. Atu Tamidim, the Shabbos, Einan Kedushe, the Kedusha Shabbos, or something like that. So the Or Sameach says, oh, that's probably what the Rambam means. Maybe. I think there's a lot to say about that. But my take for the Ritva and for the Rambam is as follows. And that is, Yom Kippur is the day of the Kohen Gadol. Meaning the personality of the Kohen Gadol and everything that he stands for in terms of Chilul Hashem merges with the day of Chilul Hashem. The day of Inisa Misnafsho Seichem. Not self-inflicted pain, but the capacity to, at least for one day, manifest the principles of Chilul Hashem, and to be excited by it. It's an aseh, v'nisim, it's not shaseh. In the Torah, it's really formulated more as an aseh. This idea that this is the day of the Kohen Gadol, and this is the day for which the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol, is expressed not only in the Kohen Gadol's obligation to preside technically on the Avodas Yom Kippurim, but the whole Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur is connected to the personality of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, everything that is done in Korbanos on that day, at least l'chatchila, is enhanced by being presided over by the Kohen Gadol. So that, for example, according to the Baal HaMor, what you might argue is that even though the Trumas HaDeshen belongs to yesterday, but it's still being done on Yom Kippur, as he's fasting, use the Rambam expression b'yom atzom. And according to the Rambam, even though the korban musaf of Shabbos is a korban musaf of Shabbos, you bring it every single Shabbos, but this Shabbos is a Shabbos of Yom Kippur. It's b'yom atzom. I don't mean b'yom atzom per se. I'm using it as an example. And therefore, it's not only the chefza of the avodas Yom Kippurim that requires the korban. It's the kedusha sayom of Yom Kippurim, which is enhanced by the Kohen Gadol's participation. And with this we can also understand why the Rambam keeps saying B'yom Atzom, B'yom Atzom. It's the Rambam's way of saying that the din of Inisim is Nafsho Seichen and the din of Isser Malacha on Yom Kippur, themes that we've spoken of in the past. All of these are one with the concept of the Avoda. B'yom Atzom, this is the Avoda that you do. B'yom Atzom, the Kohen Gadol's two wives would be Ma'akev, the Avoda. The idea is for there to be one day a year in which the expression of Kulal Hashem, in terms of the capacity and the willingness and the passion of Klal Yisrael, in terms of Avodas Hashem, and that's the core for being Yom Kate Slicho Mechila Liyachid Olarabim, that should be manifest. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol's personality, his Kahuna Gadola, is expressed on Yom Kippur. That's why there's no separate Din of Minui. It's all part of the mitzvah of Avodas Yom Kippurim. At the same time, Yom Kippur's Kedushas Hayom is contingent upon the central role that the Ish of Kulul Hashem plays on that day. So I wish you all a Ksiv V'Chsim HaTov, Anashnas, Chaim V'Shalom, and